Hi, am I on the air?
Yep.
Fuck.
Thanks.
Do I have everybody's attention now? Do I have everybody's attention now?
Don, I got you.
Don, I got you. Do I have everybody's Sunday attention night. Now?
He put them cameras on me, then you must be willing to get that heart touch. This a must-see feeling. The news ain't good, then it must be villain. So I say a tag grounded, I don't trust these ceilings. Spread a crushing nose, and I'm on your ear. Highest necks on the cloud, am I in the air? Sunday nights, prime time, I flex my bed of Voltron. Transform to DX Don, mega and unseen. You probably think I'm nice, cause I flow like a stream to your wireless device. And the smoke full of steam on any given night, how short like a piece of any given slice. And for the latest and what is best about, I tune in and tune the rest out, Don. You gotta tell them, am I in the clear? Is this thing gone? Am I on the air? On the air?
Yeah, you know what time it is. What is going down, everybody? Welcome to a brand new Am I on the Air? I'm your host, Don Mega. This is Season 11, Episode 2. Tonight's episode is Baskin Robbins Always Finds Out. And, you know, I've actually got a lot of submissions this week from fans and listeners of the show that were like, your next show's gotta be called Baskin Robbins Always Finds Out. That, of course, ties in with our movie review of the week, which is, of course, going to be Ant-Man. Such a great movie and a hilarious line from the film. So if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. My initial thought to call tonight's episode was, I know a guy, because that was used a couple times. And that's, you know, part of the after credit scene. And but that Baskin-Robbins Always Finds Out is pretty damn hilarious. So that is what tonight's show is. It is episode 2 of the brand new season. Thank you everybody that checked out last week's show. The Red Capes Are Coming, which was a great Comic-Con follow-up. Talking about the Batman v Superman trailer, Suicide Squad, all kinds of greatness. This show is being recorded live here on a Tuesday night, July the 21st. I'm a couple days off again from my normal schedule, and that's just because, you know, if you listen to last week's show, I told you I was doing it late. I did the show on Tuesday last week, a couple days late because I got sick and I was out of town. And I was forced with the decision of, do I just do a show on Sunday or do I wait a couple more days and try to let that Red Capes Are Coming episode stretch out? So I decided to let the other episode stretch out a bit. Because it was a very big episode, you know, it was like an hour and a half long. I was getting caught up on some stuff. We talked a lot about Comic-Con, and it was just a supersized edition of Am I on the Air, so to speak. So I didn't want to just, you know, blow over it with a brand new episode just a couple days later. So I let that one breathe a little bit, but it's been 7 days. It's time to do another show. I'll probably get back to schedule though this Sunday night and kind of get things back going to our normally scheduled Sunday night stuff. With that being said, there's a couple things I want to shout out. I can't believe I forgot to do it on last week's show, but I want to talk about Red Dragons Assemble. Somehow, I did tell you I was sick, but last week's show, I completely spaced shouting out Red Dragons Assemble. We put up a brand new episode. It's episode 5, and we're talking about all the big news that went down in June. Once again, I got to shout it out. If you haven't listened to Red Dragons Assemble, I don't know what you're waiting for. It is our supersized show right here on RedDragonsRadio.com, where it has myself, Geeky Pat, and Peeps, all three different hosts of three different shows coming together once a month to bring you Red Dragons Assemble. It's a great show. If you listen to this show, there's no reason you shouldn't listen to that one, because it gets you totally up to spec with all the big, big entertainment news in case you missed anything, and you get to hear three different opinions about it. So, brand new Red Dragons Assemble up on the page. Please check that out at reddragonsradio.com. Listen to episode 5 of that. And our second shout out here goes to my boy Geeky Pat. Check out his new episode of This Week with the Geek, which is Comic-Con 2015. Yes, I talked about Comic-Con last week, but I got to be a special guest on his show last week, and we talked more Comic-Con. So he dedicated his whole episode to Comic-Con, and we got to get into really good conversation pieces about the Batman v Superman trailer, Suicide Squad, all the different panels that went down. It was a lot of fun to do. I thank him for having me on the show. He knew I had already talked about Comic-Con, but I was totally down for it because there's always something special about having that interactiveness between two people, and you get to, you know, cross ideas and different thoughts about the things that came out. So I was totally down to talk some more Comic-Con, and I appreciate him having me on. So if you want to hear me talk some more about 2015 Comic-Con, check me out on the newest episode of This Week with the Geek, also over on RedDragonsRadio.com. All right, with that being said, let's jump into our movie review of the week, which is, of course, Ant-Man. I believe it's the 12th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and this is officially the end of Phase 2. Phase 2 that started with Iron Man 3, and then we had Thor: The Dark World, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Age of Ultron, and now Ant-Man. Ant-Man originally was supposed to be the start of Phase 3, and then they made some changes and they made it the end of Phase 2, which is really cool, and it puts a nice little spotlight on Ant-Man. This is a film that I know a lot of people, actually, even big Marvel fans, that when I was like, hey, you gonna watch Ant-Man? They were like, nah, not really. It looks stupid. And I can't believe that that's like a majority of a lot of people just thought it looked stupid, didn't want to even give it a chance. Right now I'm imploring you, if you're a fan of Marvel films, please go see Ant-Man. It is awesome. The movie is super funny. It's got great action. Ant-Man turns out, even though he's like this kind of superhero character to me, I walked out of that movie being like, I need me some more Ant-Man. And I can't implore people enough to go check this film out. It really, really deserves it. It deserves you guys giving it a chance. And I hope that you do. Michael Douglas was amazing as Hank Pym. I loved Paul Rudd in this. I mean, I'm a big Paul Rudd fan anyway, but I loved him in this role playing Scott Lang. Evangeline Lilly was great as Hope Van Dyne, Michael Douglas's daughter. Corey Stoll, who I always think is great, he was awesome as Yellow Jacket. My only beef is that you don't really see Yellow Jacket until like the last 15-20 minutes of the film, and that's a little bit of a bummer. But he was a pretty good villain throughout the entire film, even before the whole Yellow Jacket thing. All the tie-ins and nods to the overall Marvel Cinematic Universe was great. It just did everything so perfectly. This was a film that everybody thought was going to be horrible because, you know, Edgar Wright was originally supposed to do it, then he dropped out, and then they got Peyton Reed in, the director of Bring It On, and everybody was like, what's this guy doing? But you know what? Peyton Reed is a big Ant-Man fan, and he brought that love and that passion to this project, and he killed it. He knocked it out the park, and, you know, Paul Rudd and Adam McKay, the director of the Anchorman movies and stuff, they got together, they rewrote some of the script, and what they pulled out is one of the best Marvel films that they've ever done. Some people have asked me, where do you place this in your, you know, if you ranked all the Marvel movies? I don't know yet. I haven't really sat down with a pen and paper and tried to rank them all out. I plan to do that soon. We'll probably do an Am I Still on the Air here for Ant-Man, and, you know, maybe we'll rank down our, you know, Phase 2 movies. I know Peeps and Friggins over there on the People's Forum already did their MCU countdown a couple weeks ago, even though I told them to wait till after Ant-Man and we could have all done it together, but they got impatient and decided to do it anyway. So, you know, we're going to probably do our own ranking and decide where it really falls. I'm just not quite sure yet. You know, I didn't like it as much as Age of Ultron or the other Avengers movies, but I liked it more than some of the other ones. So, and I definitely want to see this again. I saw it in IMAX 3D, and I would love to see it in IMAX 3D all over again. It was just so good. And please, if you haven't seen it yet, there's two post-credit scenes, so make sure you stay through the entire film. What turned out to be something that could have been really, really silly turned out to be a very big pleasant surprise, and probably my second favorite film of 2015 so far. So that has definitely jumped up to the top of the rankings, right behind Age of Ultron. Marvel does it again, baby. You know, and we'll talk a little bit more about box office later. Some people are bitching, saying, you know, like, oh, it's a disappointment for Marvel. It was their number one film. It was their 12th number one film in a row. Marvel always knocks it out the park. $58 million for an unknown property like Ant-Man is not too shabby. If you look back and you see that, you know, the first Captain America and the first Thor movies only made like 65, and those were characters that everybody knew. Nobody knew who the hell Ant-Man was. And, you know, $60 million worth of ticket sales showed that people were out to support it. And I hope that the word of mouth will carry this film a long ways, because it definitely, definitely deserves it. And like I said, seeing it in IMAX, if you can, the 3D was very, very good on this film as well. So that's a review of the week. Out of 5 stars, I give Ant-Man 5 out of 5. There's no doubt there. I was extremely, extremely happy walking out of that thing. Michael Pena, by the way, breakout character in this film. He is so funny, and there's a couple things they do in there that are hilarious, bleeding into the cameo from Stan Lee, which was awesome. I want to talk more openly about this, but of course we always do it spoiler free here, so all I can say is go check it out. Ant-Man is a 5 out of 5. Alright, my friends, let's get into our news of the week. We got a brand new trailer for Joy. This is the new David O. Russell film, who directed like The Fighter and Silver Linings Playbook and American Hustle last year. This is his other Jennifer Lawrence Bradley Cooper film. It's called Joy. Trailer doesn't really tell you too much, but it's out there. We have the first HD promo for Fargo Season 2 you can check out. We have the first tease of American Horror Story Hotel. So check that out. And the first tease for The Affair Season 2. Which is one of my favorite breakout shows of last year over on Showtime. We do know that NBC is bringing back that TV show Emerald City, which is kind of a The Wizard of Oz kind of spinoff. Tarsem Singh, big Hollywood director there, he's going to actually direct all 10 episodes of the TV show, which is going to be crazy. But that's pretty cool. That's a great lock there for NBC. Tilda Swinton has confirmed that she is in Doctor Strange and that she's really, really excited. We knew that she pretty much was, but we never really got confirmation on that, so this was pretty cool to get that. Dan Aykroyd has confirmed that he's going to have a cameo role in Paul Feig's new Ghostbusters reboot, so that'd be pretty cool. In some sad news, and I don't mean by anybody dying or anything, but in sad news for me, Joss Whedon came out and said no Age of Ultron director's cut. And this bums me out. I mean, when we did our Avengers Age of Ultron spoiler review on Am I Still on the Air, we talked a lot about this director's cut. Supposedly, Joss Whedon was going to do his original 3-hour version of the film, put out a director's cut on Blu-ray, and we were all so excited about it. Now, Joss says, you know, he pretty much doesn't really have the time or the energy. He's a little bit too lazy to make it. And that basically the version that hit theaters is pretty much as close to the version he had in his head when he wrote the story that could be made. And he's happy with it, and Marvel's happy with it, so he just wants to leave it alone. So they have scrapped the plans for that, and there will be no Avengers Age of Ultron director's cut. So that really bums me out. Moving on, DMX. DMX has been sentenced to 6 months in jail for not paying child support, man. Come on, dude. You got to take care of your kids, buddy. We have an article up with the cast of Minority Report TV show explaining how the TV show is going to be a sequel to the Steven Spielberg Tom Cruise film. So that's pretty cool. Spike Lee's new film, Chi-Rock, is going to be the first ever Amazon original movie. It sounds like it's going to be an Amazon exclusive type of film, but it also looks like it's getting some sort of a theatrical release, so we'll see. We have the first full trailer for Netflix's new drug war series called Narcos. I'm looking forward to that. We got a really cool photo up that we posted coming off Comic-Con. That's a portrait of the 20th Century Fox evolving superhero universe. It's a really cool group photo that Entertainment Weekly took, and it has the whole cast of Fantastic Four, all your big stars from the X-Men franchise, and Hugh Jackman, along with Ryan Reynolds for Deadpool. So it's a really, really cool picture. We got an article up with Ming-Na Wen from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She talks about Season 3 and how May feels about Sky and the Secret Warriors. Stan Lee teases that he's got a very different type of cameo in X-Men Apocalypse, so that'll be different. Sleepy Hollow's third season is coming out soon, and Nikki Reed is going to be playing a spy version of Betsy Ross. Martin Campbell is going to be directing Jackie Chan in the new film The Foreigner. Michael Ironside is headed to The Flash next season. He's going to be playing Captain Cold's dad, so that'll be very interesting. Resident Evil, the final chapter. Are you ready, baby? The new movie is gearing up to start shooting, and we're finally going to be getting that last piece of the Resident Evil franchise. So it's about time we put this baby to rest. Because they've been getting worse and worse and worse. Just like the big Fox comic book poster that I posted earlier that we just talked about at Comic-Con, we have the Warner Brothers version, which features the cast of Batman v Superman and the Suicide Squad all chilling together. It's a very cool kind of behind-the-scenes picture. Turn, over on the AMC channel, has been renewed for a third season. Nicole Perlman, who's writing the Captain Marvel script, she says it's coming along, but it's a very complicated process, so it's very interesting to see what kind of, you know, trouble they're having tackling this project. There's going to be a live-action Aladdin prequel coming from Disney. It's going to be called Genie. So that's pretty cool, and supposedly that will lead into a live-action new version of the Aladdin movie. So that'll be interesting, because you know Disney is in this kick right now of making all live-action versions of their stuff. There's going to be a crossover happening on Fox next season, as Bones and Sleepy Hollow are going to have a crossover event coming next season, so that's going to be pretty cool. You know, there's some conflicting reports. We had tweeted that Furious 7 had just passed the Avengers to become the third biggest box office movie of all time. But if you go now to Box Office Mojo, it actually flipped them back. So I don't know if just some numbers got skewed or what, but they're very close to each other. And it's not going to matter, because Jurassic World is like literally a couple million behind, and it's going to overtake both of them. So Jurassic World probably by the end of the week will be the third biggest film of all time behind Avatar and Titanic. So that is crazy. Bravo is developing new shows for Tabitha Coffey and Shaws of the Sunset Star. Owen Wilson has joined Ed Helms in the new comedy called Bastards. Boy. Paul Walker's brother Cody Walker has nabbed his first movie role. He'll be joining the new Nicolas Cage film called USS Something. It's about a ship. I'm going to find the article here soon. Hugh Jackman has left the new film Collateral Beauty that he just signed on to. I'm guessing over creative differences, because that's how it goes. We have the brand new Pan trailer with a whole bunch of new footage. It actually is the best trailer they've released so far for this thing, so that is exciting. This next piece of news has me really excited. One of the shows that got canceled last season that I was really bummed about was Constantine. You know, NBC did this new version of Constantine, threw it on Friday nights, and just pretty much set it out to die from the get-go. They shortened the order of the season, and then they basically just said, yeah, we're going to cancel it, and they gave up. They tried to shop it around to some other networks, and nobody really bit, and the show eventually faded. This really bummed me out, because Constantine was a really, really good show that was getting better by the episode, and I really felt like NBC just kind of really screwed it from the beginning by throwing it on Friday nights, where nobody watches TV on Friday nights, you know, so that's just one of those things. I really was hoping that the CW would pick it up, because I always thought, hey, Constantine in the Arrow Flash universe would be awesome. we all knew Stephen Amell was a big fan of the show, and you know he was hoping to guest star on an episode of Constantine, and then vice versa. And unfortunately, all this stuff just didn't happen. Well, it looks like there may be hope, as it looks like Constantine may possibly appear on an episode this upcoming season of Arrow. The Arrow producer, along with Stephen Amell, they started talking about it, saying that they want to make it happen. They love Constantine. They love Matt Ryan, who portrayed Constantine in the TV show, and they want to bring him back as Constantine, not in a, you know, permanent role, but at least like in a cameo kind of thing. And then who knows, you know, something that maybe starts off as a cameo turns into, you know, a more frequently walk-on kind of thing. Who knows, maybe they want to spin it off to the Legends of Tomorrow show. Lots of stuff they could do if his cameo episode, you know, creates enough ratings. So I got my fingers crossed. They said, you know, they want to make it happen. It just has to do with scheduling. So hopefully the scheduling works out. I know Matt Ryan loved playing Constantine, so for him to come back and do it, I don't think would be a big deal. And I think there's a lot of, you know, potential there if the episode does really good for him to kind of move on a little bit more in that CW family. So fingers are crossed, man. We'll maybe get some Constantine up on Arrow. We have a very cool kind of fake promotional video for the brand new Wet Hot American Summer prequel, First Day of Camp, that's coming out on Netflix at the end of the month. They did a video called Meet the Staff of Camp Firewood, and it's a pretty cool little mock video of the whole staff kind of doing their introduction video for Wet Hot American Summer. I love when they do kind of realistic videos like this to support the shows that they're on. So that was really, really funny. The brand new Back to the Future 30th Anniversary Trilogy box set is coming in October. And it's a brand new packaging. Looks like the flux capacitor. It's really, really cool. I know my boy Fernando would love that thing, man. He's a big, big Back to the Future fan. So I know he'll be pre-ordering that. 19 Kids and Counting has officially been canceled following the Josh Duggar child molestation scandal. So, TLC channel has canceled that. We have your exclusive first look at X-Men Apocalypse. Entertainment Weekly posted the new article, new magazine with Apocalypse front and center on the front of the magazine, along with Magneto and Psylocke, played by Olivia Munn. I think Olivia Munn looks drop dead sexy as Psylocke. It looks awesome. The new Magneto suit looks amazing. Apocalypse, not so much. You know, I only got a brief glimpse of him in that Comic-Con trailer, and there wasn't really much to go off of. Then these Entertainment Weekly pictures came out, and there's a lot of controversy going on with Apocalypse, man. A lot of people saying he looks like Ivan Ooze from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, and I can't lie, man, he kind of does look like Ivan Ooze. It's a pretty bad look, dude, especially when people are so up in arms just showing pictures of, you know, cosplay Apocalypses that people did on a budget with just some makeup, you know, and they look amazing. And then you have like this multi-million dollar film and Apocalypse looks eh. You know, I mean, I don't hate his look, but it's not that great at the same time. The thing is that the thing that I'm trying to get people to kind of chill a little bit on is Bryan Singer has always said from the beginning that his Apocalypse is going to be a mixture of practical effects and CGI. I don't think any of the CGI portion has been done on Apocalypse yet. Like, basically what you've seen has just been, you know, just the Oscar Isaac in makeup. And I think there's going to be a much more CGI enhancement. Obviously, his size will be enhanced, because if you look at the Entertainment Weekly cover, he's very big and he kind of towers over Magneto and Psylocke, whereas if you look at the set photos, he's almost the same size. So all I say is, you know, in Bryan Singer we trust. He's made, you know, multiple great X-Men films, and he knows what he's doing with this franchise. It does take place in the 80s, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, based off these first set of photos, there's a little bit of worry, especially from the online fan community, about how Apocalypse looks. Inside the magazine, we get some more looks at Raven, aka Mystique. And we get to see Quicksilver. We see a couple shots of Magneto. We get to see Storm with her mohawk. And we get our first look at Jean Grey and Cyclops. So some pretty cool little pictures inside. Nightcrawler as well. One of the other concerns I see from looking at these pictures is none of them show Mystique. Every picture is just Jennifer Lawrence as Raven. And I even saw an article with Jennifer Lawrence where she said, in this movie, I'm much more Raven than Mystique. And I'm like, it's almost like, did they just give up making her Mystique at this point? Like, just so they could show that they have Jennifer Lawrence? Like, it's just a little confusing and it's a little odd that she's in none of these set photos. Is she blue? she's never in her blue form, which is kind of odd because that's pretty much what she was in most of Days of Future Past. So we'll see. Just another thing that has people just a little bit worried on that front. We got an article up with Ezra Miller. He's your new Flash for the movie version, where he talks about superhero physics and landing the role. He's a big comic book fan. He loves this character. He says that he thinks it's great that there's a TV version and his version going on. He compares it to an Earth 1, Earth 2 kind of thing. And he says one day he hopes to be able to race Grant Gustin and have the two Barrys, you know, battle it out. It's never going to happen there, Ezra, but I love your enthusiasm for it. This article really, you know, made me excited to hear, just because I don't know much about Ezra Miller, and I felt like he was kind of just handed this role, and this made me understand much more that he's a big comic book fan, and he loves the character of Flash. So that made me feel a lot better about it. Alrighty. Coming up next, our 67th annual Emmy Award nominations have been announced. So I'm going to run through some of this stuff right now. Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama Series. You got Better Call Sal, Bob Odenkirk, Bloodline with Kyle Chandler, Kevin Spacey for House of Cards, Mad Men with Jon Hamm, The Newsroom with Jeff Daniels, and Liev Schreiber for Ray Donovan, man. Hell yeah, good job, my boy Ray Donovan up in there. Outstanding Lead Actress, Taraji P. Henson for Empire, Claire Danes for Homeland, Robin Wright for House of Cards, Viola Davis for How to Get Away with Murder, Elizabeth Moss for Mad Men, and Tatiana Maslany for Orphan Black. Outstanding Lead Actor in a Limited Series or Movie, Timothy Hutton for American Crime, Ricky Gervais for Derek, Adrian Brody for Houdini, David Oyelowo for Nightingale, Richard Jenkins for Olive Kitteridge, and Mark Rylance for Wolf Hall. American Outstanding Lead Actress in a Limited Series or Movie. We have Felicity Huffman for American Crime, Jessica Lange for American Horror Story, Queen Latifah for Bessie, Maggie Gyllenhaal for The Honorable Woman, Frances McDormand for Olive Kitteridge, and Emma Thompson for Sweeney Todd. Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series. Anthony Anderson for Blackish. I love that one. Matt LeBlanc for Episodes. Don Cheadle for House of Lies. What, what? Will Forte for Last Man on Earth. Hells yeah. Louis C.K. for Louis. William H. Macy for Shameless. And Jeffrey Tambor for Transparent. Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy Series. Lisa Kudrow for The Comeback. Lily Tomlin for Grace and Frankie. Amy Schumer for Inside Amy Schumer. Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie, Amy Poehler for Parks and Rec, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep. Outstanding Reality Competition Program, The Amazing Race, Dancing with the Stars, Project Runway, and So You Think You Can Dance, Top Chef, and The Voice. Outstanding Variety Talk Series, The Colbert Report, Daily Show with Jon Stewart, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and The Late Show with David Letterman. Outstanding Limited Series, American Crime, American Horror Story Freak Show, The Honorable Woman, Olive Kitteridge, and Wolf Hall. Outstanding Comedy Series, Louie, Modern Family, Parks and Rec, Silicon Valley, Transparent, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Veep. very happy to see Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt get an option in there, along with Silicon Valley and Modern Family. Those are my jams right there. Outstanding drama series: Better Call Saul, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, Homeland, House of Cards, Mad Men. Outstanding variety sketch series: Drunk History, Inside Amy Schumer, Key and Peele, What, and Saturday Night Live. And there's some more categories in here I won't waste too much time on. If you want to see the full listing, you can check it out on our Twitter and Facebook page. That is the 67th Annual Emmy Award nominations. Michael Cera, moving on here. Michael Cera is in the news as he has been announced to voice Robin in the Lego Batman movie that's going to be hitting theaters on May 26, 2017. We have the first official subtitle trailer for Attack on Titan, the live-action movie. You can check that out on our Facebook and Twitter. Stephen King's It has found its brand new director, and it is going to be the director of Mama. He goes by the name of Andy Muschietti, and that's pretty much all we have to go off of is Mama. I did like Mama, though. I thought that was a really good horror film, and I thought that it was directed really well, so that, I think, you know, that's a good fit for something like It. And it does seem like Will Poulter, who was going to star as Pennywise the Clown, the evil clown from We're the Millers, may no longer be attached to the project due to scheduling issues. But they'll check back with him after they have the new script, and they'll talk with him and see if they can work it out. So, glad to see that It is getting back on track there. Speaking of more casting on these superhero shows, my boy Adam Copeland, for all you WWE fans, he went by the name of Edge. He is going to be on The Flash next season, and he's going to be playing the Atom Smasher. I don't know much about that character, but I do love Edge. He is awesome, and I think he's going to be great on The Flash. Like I said, we have that brand new trailer for Pan. We have the trailer for Digging for Fire, starring Orlando Bloom and Jake Johnson. We have the new second trailer for The Gift, starring Jason Bateman and Joel Edgerton, which I think looks really, really good. We have Everything Wrong with Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, which is pretty much everything, by the way, because that movie sucks. By the way, Ant-Man is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, so this segment is brought to you by Rotten Tomatoes. Carrie Ann Moss and Richard Armitage have joined the new movie Brain on Fire. We have the first official teaser for the X-Files revival that's coming on Fox next season. The directors of the Vacation movie are going to be writing the script for the Spider-Man reboot. So this is really, really cool. It shows you kind of the tone that they're keeping, having comedy writers come on and write this thing. I don't know much else about these guys other than they're the directors of the new Vacation movie, but it's nice to see them chugging along here on the Spider-Man reboot. We had reported before that Jennifer Lawrence was done playing Mystique in the X-Men franchise, but maybe not. In more recent interviews with her, she says there's always hope, and that she says she really does love playing this character. And, you know, if when they're ready to make the next movie and they call her and she feels good about it, she says she'll sign on and she'll do it. But if it doesn't feel right, then she'll pass on it. So, you know, she says it's all kind of up in the air right now, but she does feel a connection to the character, does really like playing it, and is definitely more open now to coming back for it. So that's really cool. It makes me feel a lot better about her and this character, because I felt like she was the only one out of the cast from X-Men First Class that was saying that they weren't going to come back. Like Michael Fassbender and you know, Professor X himself, Nicholas Holt, you know, James McAvoy, they all, their contracts are up. And but all of them said, I will come back in an instant. Jennifer Lawrence was the only one that was kind of like, nah, this is it, I'm done. So it's good to see that she's kind of coming around now, saying, you know what, I like this character, so I'm not going to say that. So good. It's very good to hear. we have some first set photos of Charlize Theron and Emily Blunt looking very villainous on set of The Huntsman, which of course is the new sequel to Snow White and the Huntsman, minus the Snow White. The CW, their Arrow TV show, has cast Echo K as Mr. Terrific for season 4. I don't know anything about a Mr. Terrific. They're really starting to stretch when it comes to some of these characters. But hey, if they're bringing in another superhero to the show, why not? I'm all about it there. Marvel has revealed the new packaging for their Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 2 collection. For those of you that didn't know, they put out a Phase 1 box set, which was basically the briefcase from the first Avengers film that Nick Fury has that holds the Tesseract. And inside the briefcase there are S.H.I.E.L.D. files and all the movies, and it's a really cool packaging. I actually own it myself, and I love it. And I had all the Phase 1 movies on Blu-ray, but I bought it again because that box set was so cool. So the Phase 2 box set, which they say is going to be like 12 discs, but it's pretty much, like I told you earlier, it's going to have inside Iron Man 3, Thor 2, Captain America 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Age of Ultron, and Ant-Man. It's going to have all those movies plus bonus disc and another like Phase 3 preview bonus disc. The packaging for this one is going to be inside the orb from Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, the little ball that Chris Pratt is holding on to the whole time that, you know, that the that Ronan wants and Thanos wants, that holds the Infinity Gem inside. It's going to be the orb, and inside the orb is going to be all the movie disc. This is really, really cool packaging. You can pre-order it on Amazon right now, but it is very expensive. I think if you look on Amazon right now and try to pre-order it, it's like $220, which is insane. And I know a lot of people are like, man, I'm not going to buy it because I have all the movies. Which, once again, I have all the Phase 2 movies, and I'll probably still buy this because I want that orb packaging. But I will wait for the price to drop first, because over $200 is insane. Let's get it down to under $150, and then we'll talk. All right? But if you're interested, go check it out on Amazon. We got an interview up with Cara Delevingne, who plays the Enchantress in Suicide Squad, and she talks about how her character kills people. Check that out. David Gordon Green is going to direct the Boston Marathon bombing film called Stronger. Michael Sheen has joined Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt in the new sci-fi movie called Passengers, and he'll be playing a cyborg in that film. Cougar Town star Josh Tompkins has joined ABC's new show Quantico. They've been really stacking this one up lately. Gotham and Arrow have added a couple new characters. Gotham has added Silver St. Cloud, and Arrow has added Anarchy. So we know that Echo Kellum, we talked earlier, has been cast as Curtis Holt, a.k.a. Mr. Terrific. And now Alexander Calvert of Bates Motel and The Returned has landed a recurring role of Anarchy in the series. Anarchy was a crusader for lawless justice that had a number of run-ins with both Batman and the Green Arrow in the comics. For Arrow, he is described as follows. Lonnie Mackin, a.k.a. Anarchy, is a deranged freelancing criminal who is willing to do whatever it takes to impress a potential employee. Gotham. Let's see. Which the new season does start on Monday, September 21st. Natalie Allen Lynn, who is currently on the Goldbergs, has signed on to star as Silver St. Cloud. The film version is being described as a ethereal beauty with the pristine manners of a Gotham debutante, and she'll have ties to the recently cast James Frayne as Theo Gallivan. Okay, so lots of casting news always coming up here. We have also posted the IMAX theatrical cut of the Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice Comic-Con trailer. I said on Geeky Pat's show that I didn't think that the movie theaters were going to be playing that Comic-Con trailer, and I was right, because they took that 3.5-minute trailer, chopped it down to 2.5 minutes, and then redid it as a brand new theatrical trailer. So we posted up that version on there as well. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to be guest starring on an upcoming episode of The Mindy Project. So all of you, I'm sure, are very happy about that. We have the first official teaser trailer for The Revenant, which is the new film by Alejandro Iñárritu, who did Birdman, and it stars Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hardy. Looks like a pretty good movie there. Definitely Oscar bait. That is faux show. Hulu is looking to offer an ad-free option. The only problem here is it's going to be like $15 a month to get it, which is like double the price of Hulu. So I think a lot of people are going to just be sticking with their ads for now. So they definitely got to trim that cast back, or that charge back. Universal Pictures has just passed the $5 billion mark, so that is just incredible to think of, man. $5 billion? Ugh. We have an article up where Paul Feig has now announced the official names of all the cast, the main cast, of the Ghostbusters reboot. I'm not going to sit here and run through them all, because some of you might not care. But if you do, you can find out what their names are on our Facebook and Twitter page. Let's see here. I've talked about all of this. I have posted up on our Facebook and Twitter page 5 different variant versions of The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened. That is the documentary film that just came out talking about that ill-fated Tim Burton Superman movie that never came to be with Nicolas Cage. Director John Schnepp just put out the video on Blu-ray and DVD, and for some reason he's posted these 5 full-length versions of the film on his official Twitter page and has shared them out to the world. So therefore I took them and shared them out with you as well. So you can watch these on our Facebook and Twitter page. Literally, it is a full feature-length film. They're like 1 hour and 45 minutes long. The director of the film calls it variant versions. I don't know what the differences are, because like 4 of them have the exact same runtime, and one is about 15 minutes shorter. But it's supposedly not the final version. It's not what hit Blu-ray and DVD. But if you're interested and you would like to check it out, you got 5 different versions you can breeze through of The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened. So check that out. Let's see. Elizabeth Shue said that she is not returning for the CSI 2-hour special movie that they are doing, which is kind of shocking because they said they were going to get everybody back for that one. But we did list the cast listing for the CSI Goodbye special. So everybody that is returning, we have the full cast listing there for that. We have an article up with the Flash stars talking about season 2, Killer Frost, and a lot more of what's to come. So you can check that out. I won't read it to you for spoiler reasons. We got an article up with Martin Freeman, who teases his ambiguous Captain America Civil War character. Ant-Man topped the weekend box office, but it's Marvel's lowest debut since The Incredible Hulk. So that's what I was saying earlier at the beginning of the show, is like, yeah, it didn't debut super, super strong, but it also is Ant-Man. So let's relay that. Any other studio would be doing cartwheels over a $60 million opening weekend. So I stop overlooking it. Sam Mendes, who is the director of, he did Skyfall, and he did the new James Bond movie, Spectre. He says that Spectre will be his last time directing a Bond movie. He wants to move on and do his own stuff after this. We've heard this before from Hollywood guys. He also said this after he made Skyfall, and look, they got him to come back for Spectre. But I believe him this time. I think 2 is enough for him back-to-back to where he wants to go spread his wings and do something else. Christopher Columbus says that the new Gremlins and Goonies movies that are in production are going to be reboots and not sequels. He wanted to set the record straight there because a lot of sites are running that these movies are going to be sequels, and he wanted to clear the air and say, nope, they are not. They are going to be pure on reboots. So I think a ball's being dropped there because there's a lot of opportunity to be doing sequels for a lot of these films rather than trying to jump straight to reboots. Another star joining that Quantico TV show is going to be The Flash's Rick Cosnett. He, of course, was Eddie on The Flash, and if you saw the end of season one of The Flash, you know, spoiler alert, he kills himself. A lot of people thinking he was coming back for season two. I guess he might still, but it looks like he's moving on to another TV series here, so he is coming to that Quantico TV show. We got an article up with Guillermo del Toro talking about why he left the Justice League Dark movie and why going on with Hellboy 3. Justice League Dark, he says he wanted to make it. He says Warner Brothers loves his script and they do want to make the movie, but they wanted him to shoot the film at the same time he was making Pacific Rim 2, and he decided to stick with Pacific Rim 2. So that was the decision he made there. They asked him what's up with Hellboy 3. He said, well, if I want to make Hellboy 3, I want $120 million, and nobody is knocking down my door to give it to me. That, I agree with you, sir, because Hellboy sucks. One and two suck, and they both lost money for the studio. So, yeah, nobody wants to give you $120 million to make a third shitty film, my friend. So, we're going to just leave Hellboy 3 where it deserves to be, and that's just in the comic books. In some sad divorce news, and this seems to be happening a lot, we just had the poor breakup of Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner. Now we say goodbye to Blake Shelton and his wife Miranda Lambert as they have filed for divorce. Very sad. In divorce from celebrity couples, especially like Blake Shelton and Miranda always look very, very happy. We have posted the brand new trailer for Chris Evans' new directorial debut movie called Before We Go, starring himself along with Alice Eve. So that is cool. Rosamund Pike has joined John Hamm in the new thriller movie High Wire Act. In some hilarious movie news, the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, I think minus Justin Timberlake, are getting together to team up for a new zombie western movie, and it's going to be called The Dead Seven. Oh, shit. Sign me up. Let's get those pre-order tickets going. Dead Seven with a zombie western starring Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. That is hilarious. Tyler Perry has joined Chloe Grace Moretz in her new film, Brain on Fire. We have the brand new trailer for American Ultra, starring Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart. Netflix is going to be debuting Lorne Michaels' new movie, Staten Island Summer. You know, Lorne Michaels from SNL. That film, Staten Island Summer, will be released on Netflix at the end of this month. There is supposedly a Xena Warrior Princess reboot in the works over at NBC. I don't know if we need it, but of course we're in reboot mode right now. Jill Hennessy has boarded CBS's Madam Secretary. We have a first look preview of Grant Gustin in the brand new Flash outfit for season 2. Not much has changed. The big change is the fact that he has the white background behind the lightning bolt on his chest, which is something they did talk about and tease about in season 1. And that looks to be the big enhancement for the suit this season, is that in the first season, he had like the dark maroon type background with the thunderbolt over it. Now he's got the white background, more like the comic books. Disney is also going to be doing a live-action Sword in the Stone live-action remake, and one of the writers of Game of Thrones is actually doing the script for that one. The writer of the film Enemy is going to be adapting the sci-fi novel The Dark Side for Fox. In some big rumor news right now, it looks, supposedly, that an offer has gone out to Benicio del Toro to be the main villain in Star Wars Episode 8. So that is really, really big right there. Usually Star Wars goes for more no-name actors. They don't really go straight to big league guys. And Benicio del Toro is a pretty big dude. So we'll see what happens. Supposedly Disney has already given the offer to him. He's just waiting and seeing if it works out. So we'll let you know if anything gets confirmed. But right now, it looks like supposedly he might be the villain in Star Wars Episode 8. So we'll see. Lady Sif herself from the Thor movies, Jamie Alexander, she says that Captain America Civil War will tease Thor Ragnarok and that she's going to have a very pivotal role in the new Thor film. So that's awesome. I love me some Jamie Alexander, and I think she should have a pivotal role because she didn't get to do much in Thor 2, and she's been a great team player for Marvel. She's been on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a couple times. She deserves a big pivotal role in the next Thor film. We have a brand new Honest trailer, which is going to be Super Mario Brothers. We have Everything Wrong With Mission Impossible 3 in 14 minutes or less. I love that he's doing all the Mission Impossible movies right now as we get close to Rogue Nation coming out. He has already posted Everything Wrong With Mission Impossible 1 and 2. So today we get 3, and I'm sure on Thursday we'll get Ghost Protocol. Or maybe he'll skip it and then he'll do Ghost Protocol next week before the new film comes out. He might do that. Maybe he'll do an Adam Sandler movie on Thursday to prep for Pixels. We have the new trailer for Before We Go, which is that Chris Evans directorial debut I told you about. And the first official trailer for The Good Dinosaur from Pixar. That's Pixar's next big film. We got an article up with Peyton Reed talking about sequel possibilities for Ant-Man. He says there's so much more story yet to be told. So I would love to see it, but it wouldn't be till after 2020 before we would get another Ant-Man film. So it's going to be quite some time. Thank God that we have Civil War and Avengers films in the meantime that we can get some Ant-Man on. Evan Peters teases that we're going to get a bigger and better Quicksilver scene in X-Men Apocalypse, which I'm always down for because that was one of the best scenes in Days of Future Past. We got an article up with Kevin Feige talking Ant-Man spoilers, so that's something you might want to check out. Miley Cyrus will be hosting the 2015 MTV Video Music Awards. And we've also posted the VMA nominees for the MTV Movie Awards. You can check out there, too. The late, great James Horner, who is, you know, great orchestral masterpiece composer, he just passed away like a month ago. You know, very sad plane crash, and they're making that Magnificent Seven movie with Antoine Fuqua, and he's worked with James Horner before, and as he was on set making the Magnificent Seven, the people that work with James Horner went to Antoine and they gave him a copy of the score, and they said that James Horner secretly wrote a score for the upcoming Magnificent Seven movie that he came up and composed purely based on reading the script. That is really, really cool. And it puts the movie studio and it puts James Horner in kind of a weird situation, because on one hand you think, use it out of respect for this man that's so sweet that he thought to do this as a surprise. But then on the other hand, he hasn't seen any footage to compose to. Usually the composers watch the movie and then they compose to it. That's not the case here. So maybe his composing doesn't fit the actual tone of the film. So it's a very hit and miss kind of feeling behind this. But nonetheless, it's very cool that he made this for the film. And this could be his last piece of music that we see in theaters. And we'll, you know, keep you posted on what ends up happening with his Magnificent Seven score. Project Cars has been canceled over on the Wii U. So if you're one of the 5 people that own Wii U's in the United States, sorry, you will not get to play Project Cars. We have premiere dates for some FXX shows like You're the Worst and The League. Which I love The League, and I can't wait. The League's 7th and unfortunately final season is set to hit FXX on September 9th at 10 p.m. Eastern. immediately followed by the second season of You're the Worst. I've never seen You're the Worst, so I can't really speak to that one, but The League is hilarious, and if you've never seen the show before, it's on Netflix, check it out, but I can't wait to see the new season, and unfortunately final season, seventh and final season debut on September 9th. We have another article up with Peyton Reed talking about the alternate ending to the Ant-Man film, so you can check that out. I won't spoil it once again for anybody. We have the full debut trailer for FX's Fargo Season 2, so check that out, taking you back to 1979. Khloe Kardashian is getting a primetime talk show called Cocktails with Khloe, and of course it's spelled with a K. The X-Files reboot has just cast Robbie Amell, Mr. Firestorm himself, Robbie Amell and Lauren Ambrose as brand new FBI agents for the X-Files, so that's pretty cool. Yes, that's Tilda Swinton in Trainwreck. I heard people saying Tilda Swinton was in Trainwreck, and I was like, no, she's not. And I posted the picture of her side-by-side with the character she plays in Trainwreck. You would never, ever recognize her. We joke all the time here, probably in poor taste, about how Tilda Swinton does not look like a female. That she just looks like a dude, a cross-gender dude. And she actually looks pretty decent in Trainwreck because they gave her long hair, they did her makeup, they gave her a spray tan, and they really did her over. And she looks pretty damn decent. So it's hard to believe, but check it out. They're saying it's one of the big things with Trainwreck when the credits start rolling, everybody's like, Tilda Swinton was in this movie? So pretty funny. In our WTF news of the movie world, Sony Animation is making an emoji movie. Yes, you heard me. An emoji movie. You know, like when I text you and I send you a smiley face? Well, that smiley face is going to be the lead male character in the upcoming Sony Animation emoji film. So, whatever. It is what it is. We have the full Disney D23 Expo schedule. It just came out today, and it does include Star Wars The Force Awakens. It is going to have Marvel. They're going to bring some Civil War stuff and a bunch more. This is exactly why I said they weren't going to Comic-Con, and it looks like I am right. So check out the full schedule for D23, which is going to be August 14th through the 16th at Anaheim Convention Center in California. In some more directorial news, Rob McElhenney is going to be directing the Minecraft movie. That name might sound familiar to you if you're a fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Rob McElhenney is a cast member and one of the writers of It's Always Sunny, and now he is going to be making the Minecraft movie. Joe Dirt 2 premiered a couple weeks ago, about a week ago, on the Crackle Network. If you don't know Crackle, it's like Netflix. It's like a cheap kind of, you know, no-name brand, generic kind of Netflix. And it is available for free to watch on Crackle. Joe Dirt 2 has already had more than 1 million views on the Crackle Network. So congratulations, David Spade. I still need to see this thing. I just keep forgetting to check Crackle. Mad Max Fury Road is heading to Blu-ray and DVD on September 1st. So there you go. Get that pre-order in. It's going to be pretty awesome. And one more piece of casting news for Gotham. Yeah, I like this one right here. Michael Chiklis is heading to Gotham, and he's going to be a brand new series regular. They do not list who he's going to be, but we do know that he is going to be a series regular in the new thing. So that makes me very, very excited when it comes down to it. I like Michael Chiklis a lot, so I'm totally down to see him join Gotham, because I like Gotham. I thought it started off a little slow, a little weak, but it pulled it out when it came down to it. All right, my friends, we're hitching up on that hour mark, so it's perfect timing. Let's get to our releases of the week in our box office. On DVD and Blu-ray this week, actually, as of today, is nothing. This happens very, very little in the calendar year, but it does happen from time to time. Nothing of new release stature came out today. There's some older movies that might be getting like a Blu-ray copy that came out today or something, but nothing big that was theatrical is hitting Blu-ray for the first time today. in theaters on Friday is going to be Pixels, Southpaw, and Paper Towns. So, a pretty slew of good stuff coming out this weekend. I hope to have a review of Pixels for you by the next show. We'll have to play it out by ear and see what happens. I would love to see Southpaw too, but Pixels will have my first attention there. And here's our box office, ladies and gentlemen. Coming in at number 10, it was a debut. It was Mr. Holmes bringing in $2.5 million. Number 9 was Ted 2 with $2.7 million. Number 8's The Gallows with $4 million. Number 7's Magic Mike XXL with $4.5 million. Number 6 is Terminator Genesis with $5.4 million. Number 5 is Jurassic World making $11.4 million. Number 4 is Inside Out with $11.7 million. Coming in at number 3, it's a debut. It's Trainwreck, the new Amy Schumer movie directed by Judd Apatow, who did my favorite comedy of all time, The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Trainwreck debuted with a very nice $30.2 million for a rated R comedy, $30 million with an Amy Schumer-led movie. Worked out really, really well, so congratulations there. Great debut for Amy Schumer in Trainwreck, $30.2 million. Coming in number 2 was last week's juggernaut number 1. That is the Minions! Minions! Minions brought in another $50.2 million in its second week. Very, very nice. And, of course, your number one film, like we already talked about, it's Marvel's latest, Ant-Man. $58 million. So that is your box office. And with that being said, that'll wrap us up for tonight. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in, for listening to this week's latest entertainment news. Please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/amiontheair. Follow us on Twitter at amiontheair. You can follow me on Twitter at dxdonmega. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Our official webpage is amiontheair.com. So go there. You can find the link to all our social stuff, including our iTunes feed. You can look at movie reviews. You can look at the box office stuff. You can listen to the show. Definitely check out amiontheair.com. Bookmark it. Like I said, we are on iTunes, so subscribe, give us a rating, you know, help us out. We really appreciate that. If you're looking for something a little bit more mobile to stream us on, check out the Stitcher app or also TuneIn. I prefer Stitcher because Stitcher will upload our new episode pretty rapidly, as TuneIn sometimes takes a day or two before the feed refreshes to give you the new episode. But we are on TuneIn as well. You can also listen to the shows on YouTube. It's youtube.com, of course, /amiontheair. You can look for us on Periscope. We are on Instagram. We are on Google+. So definitely check us out all over the interwebs at amiontheair. So whatever you're on, just type that in and see if we happen to pop up for you. Subscribe, share the love, tell all your friends and family that this is where you get your entertainment hookup. Of course, our affiliate, RedDragonsRadio.com. We are broadcasting live right now from the Red Dragons Radio studios, and I can't preach it enough. RedDragonsRadio.com includes this show right here, along with other great shows like our Red Dragons Assemble, This Week with the Geek, The People's Forum, Pro Wrestling Nation, King Falls AM, lots and lots of great stuff on RedDragonsRadio.com. And follow on Twitter at Red Dragons Radio so you always know what's going down when new podcasts are dropping. That, my friends, will do it for this Tuesday, July the 21st. It is episode 2, Baskin Robbins Always Finds Out, here on Am I on the Air, episode 2, season 11. Until next time, my friends. Peace! Red Dragons!